Hey folks, John Ojaka here, and in today's episode, we're going to be kickstarting a new trend around here, which is building episodes around questions that you guys submit. So today's question was, what would I do if I had only $500 to spend on my music career, thereabouts? And so we'll be listening to that listener question and answering it shortly. But before we do, I just wanted to remind everyone, if you like this podcast, if you like what I'm about, what Music Marketing Manifesto is about, the direct-to-fan marketing strategies that we've been cultivating here for over a decade now, then head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com, click on products and services in the top nav bar, and check out everything that I've got to offer from my flagship program, Music Marketing Manifesto 4.0, to my private mastermind community, the Insider Circle, to private coaching or consulting sessions, as well as my PR service, my publicity service called No Brainer PR. You can take a look at everything that we have to offer there on the site. With that out of the way, let's get started. I hope you enjoy today's show. You're listening to the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast, where you'll learn how you can use direct-to-fan marketing strategies to grow your fan base and generate income from your music with no record label, radio airplay, touring, or press. And I'm your host, John Ojaka. All right, John Ojaka here, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast. Now, as mentioned before the intro there, we're going to be taking questions from listeners. My hope here is that this kickstarts a new sort of, if not a series, at least a trend in the podcast. I want to start building episodes around questions from you guys. We'll still include interviews and all that fun stuff, and we'll change things up from time to time. But I think, I'm usually sitting here going, what will help musicians? What do musicians want to know? And then I'm taking a crack at putting episodes and training lessons and courses together for you guys. And I figured, what better way to do that than just ask you guys to submit your questions directly for the show? And so that's what we're going to be trying, at least for a while going forward. If you've got a question that you would like to submit, then just head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com/submit-a-question. Once again, that's musicmarketingmanifesto.com/submit-a-question. And if it's something that I think I can build an episode around, I will include it on the show. There's a little audio recorder there. You can just hit a button, leave me a message. And as I say, if it's right for the show, I will build an episode around it like this one. So let's jump into it, shall we? Let's take the first question. I thought this was a fun one, a nice one to build a lesson around. I know it's something that has come up in many coaching sessions, many consulting calls. So I thought this was a good one, and many people probably have wondered the same thing. So I'll stop setting it up. We'll just cut away and we'll listen to the question that came in from listener Jason Eli. Let's take a listen.
Hey, John, how are you doing? This is Jason here in sunny London town. I've got a question for you. I have about £400 left in my music business spending account to put into my music career. I've got my website built. I've got a sort of fan list of about 400 people. I'm wondering if I should focus that money on Facebook advertising alone to try and sell my new album, or should I spend some of it on merchandise and have less money to put into advertising and try and make money off both? Love your show. Love the course as well. Hope to hear from you, and hi to everybody. Cheers.
All right, a big thank you goes out to Jason Eli for submitting that question. I think it's a good one. I think a lot of people can relate to that. There are a lot of musicians, no doubt, listening to this who are in a similar position. You've got some music that you've created. You want to get it out to the world. You want to grow your following. But And perhaps, hopefully, you've got a budget together. Maybe it's small, maybe it's fixed. It's a certain amount of money that you can risk investing in your career, but you're not sure the best way to do it. So Jason wants my take on how I would spend that money, and that's what I'm going to offer everyone. I thought we'd have a little fun with this and reframe it ever so slightly. He mentioned 400 pounds. That's around $560 US. Let's just round that off and say $500 US. If I had $500 US to invest in my music career and nothing more, how would I spend it? Well, again, this is probably one of those questions that if you asked 10 different marketers, you might get 10 different answers. I'm going to give you my take. My answer also depends a little bit on where you're at in your career. So I'm going to take this question and I'm going to offer, I took some notes that I'm actually not looking at right now. Four different answers, sort of four different archetypal musicians, that represent different key places in that sort of career arc of the average musician, and I'm going to give my best advice for each musician depending on where you're at in this cycle. Now, just the super quick overview of what it is that I teach if you're new to Music Marketing Manifesto and me and what I'm all about. I've been helping musicians successfully market their music for over a decade now. I was the first person that I'm aware of to teach these direct response marketing strategies to musicians, or at least the longest lasting. There may have been others that have come and gone. But these strategies have really caught on in many circles over the years and are now becoming fairly commonplace. And there is a little bit of a juxtaposition going on between those who have invested wholeheartedly in streaming versus those who are embracing a sales model. There really is no reason you can't do both, but they are distinct and different, and you can't necessarily do both, or at least, well, you can, but it's not optimal in many cases to do both at the same time. In other words, it's hard to sell music that people already have in their pockets. So if you are going to rely on a sales model, then you need to be careful with what you release to the streaming platforms. And I usually recommend artists release, say, the singles rather than the entire album. But there are still absolutely streaming strategies that make a lot of sense, and it depends a lot on who you are as an artist, where you are in your career. And if you want more on my take on streaming, you can find various episodes in the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast dedicated to streaming and how they fit in to the MMM model. But the long and short of it is that I teach people to build a following, or to build an audience, more simply put, to build a mailing list of fans, and then to sell stuff to those fans. It's really that simple, and it works really well. It just, with every year that passes, the reports I get from students and clients seems to indicate that it's just working better and better. That's what I see, and so I'm a firm believer in the sales / direct response marketing approach to selling music. When I say sales, there are a lot of different ways that you can make that sale. It can come in the form of a traditional album, be it CD or vinyl. And yes, people still do buy CDs and vinyl, especially on the indie level when you're communicating directly with your fans. But if that's not you, or that's not your demographic, then you can monetize through something like Patreon or a membership site. Those are still sales platforms, as opposed to the streaming platforms where nobody is parting with money to consume your music. They're just needing to take an action to consume your music. Well, they are parting with money. It's just not going to you for the most part. So again, that's an overview of what I teach, and you can learn more about it in various other lessons, podcast episodes. But as I mentioned, I've broken things up into sort of four types of musicians, and I'm going to give different advice to different musicians depending on where you are in your career. So how would I spend $500? If that's all I had to invest in my career, well, first off, let's take the artist with no product to sell. You're brand new to this. Maybe you've recorded a song, you've got a band, you're rehearsing, you've performed a few times, but you don't have an album yet. If that's you, and Jason, I don't think that's you, but you did mention merchandise, I would be investing in an album, getting that together, getting something to sell, because you could go and take that single and start growing your list. And I often recommend people do that simultaneously as they get their album ready. But if you have a fixed budget, only $500 to invest, I would wait until you've got that album to sell, because that is when you are most likely to get maximum return for your marketing dollar. In other words, if we drive traffic, build a list, we're going to make more sales if those people signed up to our list recently. You're going to get a higher conversion rate as opposed to building that list for a year and then asking everyone to buy your album. Too many of those leads are going to go cold and never purchase. So with a fixed budget and no additional money coming in or no potential for growth in that marketing budget coming anytime soon, I would recommend investing in getting your album finished and recorded and ready for sale. Now, if you've already got that album and you're talking specifically about creating additional items for, say, an upsell or merchandise for touring, these kinds of things, I would personally hold off on that. I would prioritize that a little further down in the chain. Merchandise is a tough sell with any kind of online marketing. Merchandise is great for a traditional merchandise. You know, I mean, t-shirts, hats, lyrics books, these kinds of things. They can sell, but they're tougher to sell. And so I would be deprioritizing them over other things like spending money on advertising, assuming that you did have at least one album to sell. So again, artists with nothing to sell, take that $500, do what you need to do to get an album finished and ready to go. Going to be tough to do for $500. You're going to be pulling a lot of favors and doing it yourself, but certainly it could be done. And I'm assuming that we're talking about finishing something, maybe getting artwork together, these kinds of things, rather than trying to get the entire album recorded and produced for just $500, because that's a bit tough. Second type of artists with an album or more to sell but no following. So maybe you finished your album, but you're really starting from scratch. Now, Jason mentioned that he's got 400 followers. That's not from scratch, but that's pretty early days. That's not a big following. Those numbers aren't that significant unless 100% of those 400 people came from live shows. If you built your list from live shows, that's not nothing. Those leads are about 3 or 4 times more valuable than leads that you generate from online marketing. The downside, of course, is that it's not scalable. Most people can't stomach the idea of touring every day for the rest of their lives. And the beauty of online marketing is that it is scalable. You can be asleep and selling music, and quite literally, it happens all the time. You wake up in the morning to see how many albums you sold while you were asleep with digital marketing strategies, and they are. Scalable. So that is why we focus on building those kinds of leads, even though touring leads are so much more valuable. And in an ideal world, you're doing both. And as well as all of that, not every artist tours. So if you're an artist with an album or more to sell, but you have no following, I would be investing all of that money in advertising. I think you learn a tremendous amount once you start driving traffic towards your music, towards an offer, towards a funnel, towards your brand of communication. You get the beauty of direct response marketing is that you get a direct response and you learn so much. We can put together the best offer, the best website, the best emails, and feel like, wow, this is gonna knock them dead. But the second people land on that page, start engaging with our ads, we see it through their eyes, we experience it on some level through their eyes, and our opinions change. And there's just no way you can hone those instincts and get that knowledge without driving traffic. to an offer, and it's invaluable. $500, even if you didn't make a dollar of that back, you would learn so much about your fans, your music, and yourself. So it's tremendously important to start growing and getting that feedback. Now, the best way to, again, there's so many different approaches, but if you are selling an album, the best way to spend that money, in my opinion, would be to drive traffic using Facebook and Instagram, which of course are all through the same company. You're all doing it through the Facebook ad manager, but I'd be driving traffic to a squeeze page. Now, a squeeze page is a single page that typically doesn't have headers and nav bars or any of that other stuff on it for people to click on and get distracted. It's a single page, a single landing page that has typically, at least the way that I put them together, a headline that makes a bold claim or promise about the experience that your music offers, an image, a photograph of you or your band, a few media quotes. If you don't have media quotes, you can check out the very affordable PR service that I put together called No Brainer PR. It's a guaranteed press service, guaranteed to get you reviews of your music, honest and authentic reviews for as little as $35. You know, it just depends how many you order. The more you order, the cheaper it gets. But anyway, a few quotes to create social proof, and then a few supporting paragraphs to kind of explain what's going on. Those paragraphs, typically I use a 4-paragraph structure. I tell people who the artist is in the first paragraph. The next paragraph tells people what the music sounds like. The next paragraph tells people what you're offering, about the song that you're giving away or songs that you're giving away. And the 4th paragraph tells them what to do next, which is to sign up to get that free music. And again, I can hear the critics saying, who's going to sign up for free music? Nobody wants free music anymore. Nobody cares about downloads. You're right that they don't care about downloads. That's not the point. What they care about is experience, and that's where the copywriting comes in. That's where the headline comes in. That's where the quotes come in. And that's where that USP comes in. You're really speaking to the conversation that is already taking place in the mind of your prospect. Demonstrating with your copy that you understand what it is that they love about a particular type of music, and you are explaining that your music will offer that very experience, that you represent a specific tribe, and that by taking you up on your offer, they're going to take a step deeper into the world that they already love so much. And it's that experience that people do crave. And because of the way the squeeze page is designed, with no rabbit hole to get lost in, no links to videos and streaming platforms and social media platforms and everything else, there are really only two options: to sign up or to leave. And it is not uncommon at all for myself or my clients and students to see conversion rates on a squeeze page over 40%. It's very common to see them over 30%. A good squeeze page is more often than not getting 1 in 3, 1 in 2 even people to land on that page to sign up. That's how well this stuff ultimately kind of works. And then again, once they're on the list, that's where the email marketing campaign takes over and converts some of those people into customers. And even if they don't buy, then it hopefully converts them into fans, and you can monetize them in some other way later, a little further down the track. So I would be spending my money. You mentioned having a website. I would make sure you have a squeeze page, a page that matches that criteria that I just mentioned. And then I would be spending my money on Facebook and Instagram, driving traffic to that page. Now, I would be targeting fans to start with. I'd be targeting fans of similar artists, and I would limit my placements to just Facebook and Instagram, and I would watch the results. And if Facebook performed better than Instagram, or vice versa, and by the way, it's usually Facebook that outperforms Instagram, but not always, I would then turn off the underperformers, and I would test various bits of ad copy. If you know the Facebook environment, I'd be starting with dynamic creative to settle on a winning ad combo. And I would be doing everything I could to promote, some engagement, but ultimately conversions. And I would be communicating with that list and trying to generate a profit. And if not a profit, then at least a significant return from that list. Now, if you're wondering, what do you mean not a profit? Isn't the whole point a profit? Certainly the whole point is profit, but we don't always experience that with just one album. Often that profit comes further down the line. It might come from the first promotion, the initial offer. It might come from the upsell. It might come from a second promotion, even potentially a third promotion. It really just depends on you. But the sole goal here is to generate subscribers that cost less to acquire than you are able to generate on average over the course of, whatever period of time you are comfortable with in terms of risk. So that might be 1 month, that might be 6 months, that might be a year. And you have a lot of potential, a lot of opportunities rather, to sell stuff to that lead over the course of that year. So if they didn't take you up on the album you were buying because maybe they don't like consuming, traditional albums, then maybe they'd take you up on the Patreon campaign that you promoted a month later. Or maybe they didn't buy because timing was wrong. And then when you circle back with a pay what you want campaign or some reframing of the same offer, they take you up then. And we see this all the time. So that's the goal. And that's what I would be doing. And then I would be reinvesting that money that I generate in sales into more advertising so that you can grow. Now, just being honest with how this often goes, some people are profitable right away, some people are not, and for some it takes extensive testing, and you may not be able to optimize your campaigns and create a profitable ad within that first $500, but you should be generating profit, and you should be generating at least a significant return on that so that you can reinvest additional funds and hopefully get to that point of profitability. So the third type of artist is artists with music to sell and an existing following. So if you, similar to the last type of artist, you're an artist who's already got music recorded and you've got the means to monetize your relationship with your fans, but you also already have an existing following. And Jason mentioned having 400 people on his list. That is an existing following, but it's not that big of a following. I'm more typically talking about thousands of people either on a list or thousands, even tens of thousands of social media followers. You've got a semi-healthy career already. But perhaps you've been struggling with online marketing and you're interested in taking it to the next level. For artists like that, again, I say this largely because the amount of money you're dealing with is small, but I would be investing, I would still be investing in advertising on Facebook and Instagram, but I would start by using retargeting. So there's usually a ton of fruit left on the tree in our existing followings. I remember with a previous project having a list of around 10,000. This is a non-music related project, so the return was pretty significant as compared to what the average musician might see. But I had a list of around 10,000 people. This is more than a decade ago when this kind of marketing was still somewhat new to me. And I never promoted anything to that list. And I remember sending out 4 emails over 4 days and generating like something like $22,000. And revenue from just a few days of emailing a list that I had taken for granted. And I know for a fact that a ton of you listening to this have this mailing list with 500, 1,000 people, and you never thought about running a promotion to that list. So go out and, for starters, tap the existing audiences with organic stuff. This is outside of an answer to your question of how I'd spend the money, but tap those audiences, run time-sensitive promotions to your mailing list and to your social media following, and see if you don't get some return out of it, and you might increase the amount of money you've got to spend on marketing dramatically, but also go and do some retargeting. Go and run ads specifically to your existing audience and see if you can't generate some existing, some additional sales. Now, the kinds of ads I use, I would do a little bit more, a little bit of additional testing here to see what worked and what didn't with a cold audience, like the previous type of, or the previous scenario that we talked about. I'm typically using images and text. We don't typically use things like video with that kind of marketing because we want to leave a lot to the imagination, but with a warm audience, people that already know us, who don't have as many questions about who we are and the kind of music that we make, often video can work really well. It really, it comes down to the strength of the video. A great video can result in sales. A mediocre video will hurt you more than it will help. But I test a few things, see what was working, see what your audience was responding to. But I would start by spending that money. And by the way, no more than $1 per 1,000 people in your warm audience. That ratio, by the way, when dealing with a cold audience is very different. It's more like $1 per 10,000 people. But so if you got 20,000 Facebook followers and they're all legit followers, not followers that you got from some ad campaign where the setting was worldwide or anything like that, but legit followers, people that found you and are paying attention, and you got 20,000 of them, spend $2 a day retargeting those people, taking them to a sales page where they can buy some of your music. Try a text and image, and also try video and see what ultimately works best. You will be dealing with a smaller budget, so I would take a portion of the money and still go after a cold audience and see if you can't grow that base. But retargeting is where I would be putting a lot of stock. The only issue with retargeting is it will burn out faster, and then you will ultimately be back needing to grow that audience and eventually a ratio that you might hope to, or a balance you might hope to achieve would be a sort of 90% driving cold traffic into your sort of following, onto your list and onto your socials, and then 10% retargeting those people to keep them coming back and ultimately purchasing. The final scenario is a touring artist. So if you're an artist, much like the last scenario, who has music to sell, who has an existing following, but you're also actively touring, and I know more and more artists are getting back on the road and starting to perform live again. If that's you, then I would be concentrating a significant part of that budget, if not all of that budget, along your tour routes. So this is a really great way that you can, as an actively touring artist, if you're going to go and spend $30 a day on advertising, why not concentrate those dollars on, let's say you toured typically up and down the West Coast, why not concentrate those dollars on Seattle and Portland and San Francisco and Los Angeles and San Diego, and build a constantly growing audience that you're not only turning to ultimately sell albums to and monetize in all the ways we've discussed, but you're also going and driving those people to your shows. And if you're doing that, I would be using dedicated squeeze pages for each market, each city, and the reason being that when we're using a tool like AWeber, which is what I use, we're applying tags. When people sign up from a particular form that's on a particular page, the system can tag them, and then we can create these segments based on those tags, and we can email them accordingly, so we can go and add a Seattle tag on all subscribers that come in through the Seattle squeeze page, and we only send traffic in Seattle to that squeeze page, and then we go and email only the people in Seattle whenever we're performing in Seattle, and likewise down the list of our cities. It can be a little more challenging when trying to target specific interests in cities, even big cities like Los Angeles with millions of people. If you're targeting fans of Bob Dylan, who's a massive artist in even a huge city like Los Angeles, you're still going to struggle. It becomes too small of an audience often, not always, but often. So while that's certainly worth trying, the next best thing you can do, and possibly, well, not next best thing, a likely better thing that you can do is create a lookalike audience. And for lookalike audiences, you're doing it nationally, but then you're limiting your reach within the ad to the particular city. So in other words, you go and create a lookalike audience in the US, you'd go and upload subscribers, or maybe it's a percentage of people who've watched 90% of a video of yours, or even just people who like your Facebook page or who have been on your website, whatever metric you ultimately want to do. You create a custom audience, and then you create a lookalike audience based on that custom audience. And even though the lookalike audience is 2.2 million strong and spread out over the United States, when you set up your ad on the ad set level, you limit the reach of your ad to people within, 20 miles or 30 miles of the venue that you're ultimately playing. And you can get that targeted, and that'll likely be a better way to go. But you can try both specific interest targeting and using lookalike audiences, and then you can drive more people into more seats, and hopefully the whole thing snowballs and you go from there. And even with $500, just keeping your budgets lean and focusing on optimization and ROI, it's still a significant start to what will hopefully become a profitable campaign and profitable career. But you can't really approach any of this with the idea that you're only going to spend $500 and then that's it. That's going to snowball your career. And I think this is probably an important point to make. No matter what, even if you may be approaching it as I have $500 to spend and to risk, think of it more as I have $500 to experiment with and test, because the whole goal here and everything I teach is about positive ROI, positive return on investment. That is the whole point to this. And if you can't ultimately achieve it, then this strategy isn't ultimately working for you. You have to achieve it at least eventually, or it's the wrong strategy for you. That is what this is designed to do, and that is the whole point. And once you are generating more than you are spending, you're not only getting your money back, but you're putting some in your pocket, and you are increasing your marketing power by growing that seed money. So if you started with $500 and you made $550, you could reinvest the whole thing at that stage, or you could, if you wanted to profit right out of the gate, put $25 in your pocket, and now you have $525 in seed money, and keep going like that until your career is as big as you want it to be. And eventually there are scaling challenges. It starts to get hard, believe it or not, to spend more than $100 a day marketing music. Not so much in other markets, but with this type of marketing, it gets to be hard. The most I've heard any student spending is around $500 a day. Oh no, I take that back. I think Josh from Empty Pockets is up to, or at least was at some point, up to around $1,000 a day, I think. I don't know. It can be done, but it's a lot of work to scale up. So those are additional challenges and good problems to have. But that's kind of the goal, is to be generating more than you're spending, and trying your darndest to keep scaling up so that you can keep spending more. You want to be spending $1,000 a day, because it means that you're making, a greater return each day. That's, if your return was 50% and you're spending $1,000 and making $1,500, then you're a heck of a lot better off spending $1,000 a day than you are $10 a day, because obviously in scenario one, you made $500 profit. In scenario two, you made $5, but the effort was ultimately the same. So scaling is an important part of the process, and that's what comes next. But anytime we're talking about not only advertising, but business in general, there are absolutely risks. Not everyone profits. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. It's business. It's challenging. And and it's how it goes. But I do, I am as a musician and as somebody who's been making a living as a digital marketer for well over a decade now, I know of no better approach to help the majority of musicians have the best shot at generating significant revenue from their music than this basic approach. So I kind of stretched a simple answer out into, you know, a 30-minute podcast, but I thought we'd have some fun with it. And hopefully all of you listeners recognize yourself in one of those scenarios. And this gave you some food for thought, you know, just to what's the word? Not paraphrase, but to recap that in simple terms. You know, how do I think you should spend your $500, Jason? Assuming you've got music to sell, spend it on advertising. And hopefully at this stage, you're familiar enough with everything that I teach to know the best way to, you know, set all of that up and optimize things for sales. And if you're listening to this and, you know, you like what you're hearing and you're interested in learning more about how to set up the kind of funnel that I'm talking about, then, you know, again, head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com, click on products and services, where you will find a link to my flagship program called Music Marketing Manifesto 4.0. That's the course that I put together that teaches musicians how to build online marketing funnels for their music. All right, that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. If you've got a question that you'd like to ask on the podcast, what did I say the URL was? Because I haven't actually put it together. I think I said musicmarketingmanifesto.com/submit a question. I'll potentially, if I think it'll make a good episode, then I'll ask it on a future, or I'll answer it. You'll ask it, I'll answer it on a future episode of the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast. If you'd like to learn more about how you can market your music using the direct-to-fan strategies discussed on this show, then head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com and sign up for your free copy of the Music Marketing Blueprint. Once again, that's musicmarketingmanifesto.com.